WHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. For the first time in the nation's history, a congressional committee has recommended that the Justice Department prosecute a former president. The House January 6 committee voted unanimously on Monday to refer four criminal charges against Donald Trump for his role in trying to overturn the 2020 presidential election. CBS's Robert Costa says the referrals are a blow to the former president's 2024 campaign.
I'm hearing from some of the party's top donors, elected officials on Capitol Hill. They say behind the scenes, real discussions about whether former President Trump is politically vulnerable. His 2024 bid now up for discussion. Other rivals thinking about jumping in the race, including Congresswoman Liz Cheney, the vice chair of the committee, moving closer to a race, a campaign. So are other contenders. They see Trump as someone who has fallout from the midterm elections. His candidates lost in many states, and now a possible indictment from the Justice Department on the horizon.
Monday was expected to be the busiest day of the year at the nation's airports. A United Airlines spokeswoman says things are looking up.
We're expecting a really busy holiday season. Over 8.1 million customers flying on United throughout our system. That is about 1.9 million more than last year, and really close to our pre-pandemic levels.
An icy blast of cold air from Canada could put a freeze on travel plans. Forecasters predict prolonged freezing conditions in the south. The Supreme Court has put a temporary hold on Title 42. That's the Trump-era pandemic restriction, allowing officials to expel asylum seekers because of COVID concerns. Meanwhile, the nation's border cities are dealing with a massive influx of migrants. KDBC-TV reporter Giovanni Carrillo is in El Paso.
Deputy City Manager Mario Diacocino says they will be working with other cities' NGOs while transporting migrants. He adds that they will be working with the state to add more places where migrants can go to. The city says the migrants will be transported to those locations if they wish to go there.
It's individuals who are choosing to go to that next city, wherever it may be.
Many hospitals continue to struggle with an increase of patients suffering from the flu, RSV, and COVID. WTTV's Lindsay Stone reports.
If you are not feeling well, I strongly encourage you to stay at home. I know it's a disappointment not to be able to see folks at the holiday times, but again, think about their well-being.
Make sure your medical cabinet is stocked full in case you do get sick.
Ibuprofen and acetaminophen. Those handle fever, those handle chills, those handle aches and pains that come along with these symptoms.
Stone speaking with Dr. Sean Granis of the Regan Streiff Institute. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Attention all business owners who rent or lease space, including storage space. Stop wasting your money paying someone else for your space. You can now save a ton of money and own your own building with the incredible end-of-the-year sale prices from General Steel. That's right, start saving money every month on renting space from others. Just call 888-74-STEEL to see how General Steel can help you save money. Our 50-year structural warranty buildings are custom designed for your needs and save you a ton of money. Call 888-74-STEEL.
Take it from a successful entrepreneur. If you need to expand or start a new business, you need General Steel.
Great team and the competitive pricing is the reason I went with General Steel.
Call 888-74-STEEL now, and you can get any of our popular quick construction structures, including a 40 by 60 foot building or a 50 by 100 clear span building at end of the year savings. Call 888-74-STEEL. That's 888-747-8335. 888-74-STEEL. Or steel.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Tuesday, December 20th. In Wood County, the Civil Service Commission will meet at 9 a.m. in the courthouse in room 114. The Wood County Board of Supervisors will meet at 9:30 a.m. at the Courthouse Branch 3 County Boardroom. The Jail Construction Ad Hoc Committee meeting will take place at 10 a.m. at the Courthouse Safety Conference Room 105. The Land Information Council will meet at 11 a.m. at the Courthouse in room 115. The Wisconsin Rapids Zoning Board of Appeals will meet at 2 p.m. at the Council Chambers at City Hall. The Wisconsin Rapids Common Council will meet at 6 p.m. at the City Hall Council Chambers. In Portage County, the Security and Facilities Committee will meet at 1:30 p.m., the Highway Committee will meet at 3:30 p.m., and the County Board will meet at 5 p.m. In Adams County, the County Board of Supervisors will meet from 6 to 8 p.m. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Snow likely, overnight, otherwise overcast. Lows dip down to about 9 above, southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. A mix of clouds and sun, tomorrow, highs around 12. Mainly cloudy skies, tomorrow night, lows level off around 6 below. 1 to 2 inches of snow, overnight, with another 4 to 8 inches, Wednesday through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 16.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports, from Vesper to Plover.
Area, and I am filling in today for my friend Kristen Bry, and we are about to jump into a conversation here about downtown Milwaukee and its future. And as always, a reminder, if you like your show, tell your friends. We're a growing show on a growing network, and you can help spread the word. So whether it's sharing the word on social media, yammering to whoever's in front of you at work, whatever it might be, spread the word. Civic Media, as goes Wisconsin. And as I mentioned, we are going to be joined for the next segment to talk about the Milwaukee's 2040 downtown plan. And joining us for that conversation is Tanya Fonseca, the long-range planning manager for the city of Milwaukee, who is proudly celebrating 11 years of city of living and collaborating in the city of Milwaukee. Tanya, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Dan, for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, so you had some interesting news from the Milwaukee Department of City Development last week, which is beginning to unveil its downtown plan for 2040. So let's start with the big picture here. What is this plan? How is it coming together? And what has gone into building this?
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for asking. So the city has a comprehensive plan which covers every inch of the city, all 96 square miles. And we're a big enough city that we divided up into different area plans so that we have a customized planning process, right? And this year, we're doing downtown, which is really exciting. And the last time we updated it was in 2010. So we do these updates about every 10 to 15 years. And they are long range. So we're looking out to 2040 so that we have that ambitious, pragmatically ambitious roadmap. So we know where we're going and how to get there. And of course, we want to make the most of this planning process and hear from anyone and everyone who wants to voice about their vision for downtown.
Yeah. So you said the last one was in 2010. I guess you could say a few things have happened in downtown Milwaukee since 2010. We've got a new NBA arena. We've got a new streetcar. We're building a new expansion to the convention center. We've kind of figured out the Grand Avenue, maybe even. So a lot has happened in the past decade plus in downtown Milwaukee. So, you know, what were some of the planning portions of that went into, you know, what we saw come to fruition and how might we, you know, be able to apply that same logic going forward towards 2040? 2040 is weird to say out loud.
I know it is weird, but it's exciting. Yeah. So, you know, I think what's critical for planning is that we really have a lot of folks engaged, stakeholders that want to enjoy the space that we're planning, but also the stakeholders that are actively part of the implementation of it. And I think that that's what you know, helped with so many successes of implementation for 2010, but also signals to us, because so much was done from the 2010 plan, it's time to update this plan. And downtown has a lot of really amazing partners that help with the day-to-day. And one of them, of many, is Milwaukee Downtown Incorporated, which is downtown's business improvement district, or one of them. And they approached us a couple years ago and said, you know, we've got so much implemented, it feels like it's time to do the update. And so we agreed to partner on that with so many others. And that's why we're here today working on this next plan for 2040.
Yeah, so there were some renderings of what is going to be in that plan that were shared. I know there was an article in Urban Milwaukee last week that had a lot of those plans. There was an open house held last week at the Third Street Market Hall. What are some of the highlights of those plans?
Sure. So I think one thing that everyone agreed on from the get-go for this planning process was that public realm improvements and the connections to the surrounding neighborhoods of downtown really need to be strengthened. We have an amazing downtown, but we are an ambitious group of Milwaukeeans who all really want to see change in downtown. We want downtown to be more equitable. We want more density downtown. We want it to be more walkable. We want people to feel safer and want to be able to utilize different modes of transportation beyond personal vehicles. So it's an exciting time, and I think it's an exciting time for Milwaukee in general, and it's good timing that we're doing this update for that reason. It's an interesting time, right, because we did start the process during the pandemic, but we do also have some new tools, obviously, including Zoom, that have made engagement really interesting and fun. And I think one big goal of the plan has been making it as accessible as possible. So as you mentioned, we had our third public meeting last week at the Avenue, but we also are using our brand new engagement platform online so that folks can, you know, kind of, you know, get connected at any point in time. And then we've been doing a lot of community outreach too, so we can kind of meet people where they are, which is really exciting.
What's the weirdest idea that somebody's come forward with in these public hearings?
You know, honestly, I can't say there are really any weird ideas, because I think everyone has just been so thoughtful and enthusiastic. I mean, last week I had an amazing conversation with some youth that were there with their parents, and they were just kind of hanging out around a map of downtown, and kind of got into a great conversation with them about saying, you know, downtown kind of feels like it's for adults. We want to feel like it's more our downtown too, and have more family friendly activities and more affordable activities, or, you know, public spaces where you don't feel like you have to be downtown to, you know, spend money. You can just kind of be there as part of your civic life, which is really exciting. I also had a really exciting conversation about benches and how downtown needs more benches. There just aren't enough. So I just, nothing weird has really popped up. Everyone is right on. And if, you know, you even go onto our engagement platform today and look at the map, there's thousands of comments where people are putting thumbtacks all over downtown with really, I think, smart ideas. And all of those are building the backbone of this plan, which is really exciting too, that we're in this era of kind of crowdsourced planning because of these new tools that we are able to utilize too. So.
Yeah, that's really exciting to see how many people are getting involved and getting excited about downtown. I will say, I know that there has been at least one very weird idea submitted, because I was the one who submitted it in the online platform. You know, you said there was like these thumbtacks that you can put on the map and have your suggestions. So I put a thumbtack down in the old Bradley Center lot and said that there should be a 100-foot Giannis Antetokounmpo statue next to the Fiserv Forum there. Any chance we can get that? Get that moving as part of this plan?
Well, certainly that also came up in the harbor of Milwaukee, that same idea. But we didn't see that as a weird idea, Dan. We really didn't. It brought a smile to our face. And I think just goes to show what an impact, you know, the book Bucks and the new arena and the new era of Westtown. And all of that is because, you know, years prior, there was that big idea to take Park East down and look at all of the development and activity that we now have in our downtown to celebrate about. So that's pretty cool.
Hey, look at that. Removing a highway and developing downtown. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting how that works. We're talking with Tanya Fonseca from the Milwaukee Department of City Development about the new downtown plan. Now, one of the public spaces that was highlighted in the renderings that was released from the downtown plan was one of my favorite parks in the city, which is Cathedral Square. Can you tell our listeners kind of what went into and what is being presented as, you know, some possibilities for the future of Cathedral Square Park?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, early on, we knew with the public realm focus that we really wanted to have some beautiful renderings to showcase the vision for some key streets and public spaces, which are a few of our parks in downtown, and Cathedral Square is one of them. And Cathedral Square is such an amazing active space already, right? Activated regularly by concerts and other community events. But we also want to see that day-to-day, activation. So the playground helps with that. The rendering is showing a pavilion in the space, actually, that could contain any number of things, like, say, a cafe or some other type of vendor, public restrooms, which is a very popular public comment and very understandable, seating out in there, a permanent concert stage, right? Because we don't have one. It regularly gets set up. More trees. And I think what's really exciting, too, is Jefferson Street, which is just directly west of the park, one of the sides of the park. We kind of focused as on that area as well to widen the sidewalks and kind of pull the park more into that street and down into that entertainment district so that there's more space for people, which is really exciting.
Yeah, it'll be great for, you know, many of those downtown events that we all enjoy, the Jazz in the Parks, the all sorts of different things. Right now, you can, you know, there's plenty of people down there visiting the Christmas lights that are always there in Cathedral Square Parks. One of my favorite places to visit. I actually proposed to my wife in Cathedral Square Park. That's right.
Yeah.
During Christmas season while there are the lights there. So there you go. Yeah. So any other pieces of this plan that you are particularly excited about?
Yeah, I think one thing that really stood out when we started our engagement was the public realm really needed to be a focus, but also growing our downtown population. So one of our key goals of this plan is to at least double the downtown residential population by 2040. So we're hoping to have about 40,000 residents in downtown, which means we need a lot more housing. And I think that that's really exciting and ambitious because everything kind of would connect to that. Like, we need more activation. We need more businesses. We need more public life. How do we do this? Well, we need more density in downtown. And downtown, as awesome as it is, I think everyone is yearning just for like a little bit more. And one critical aspect of that will be more density.
Well, I know that Mayor Cavalier Johnson, with his goal to grow Milwaukee to a million people, probably going to need to add some more people downtown if we're going to hit that number at some point. So that's a very exciting, you know, possibility for bringing housing and hopefully affordable housing so that so many different people from different backgrounds can enjoy all that there is to enjoy about downtown. So is there anything that if our listeners wanted to learn more about this project, where could they go?
Sure, absolutely. So we have an online engagement platform that everyone can go to and see everything that we showcased last Wednesday, as well as transparently all of those comments that we've been collecting through the system. And so you just go to engage mke.com/connectingmke, and it's all there, including these awesome renderings that Dan just shared with you.
All right. So thank you so much for joining us today, Tanya Fonseca from the Department of City Development, who is working on the Downtown Milwaukee 2040 plan. Very exciting stuff there. Thank you so much for joining us.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Radio about
actual tyranny of a dictator. Dictator is going to dictate Putin. And what did Trump do? Trump kneeled to the man. Embarrassing Republicans. And you're still with the guy? This is your front runner in 2024? Are you even smoking some of Mike Lindell's crack? What are you thinking?
They're the GCCCP. We are the devil's advocates.
Live weekday afternoons from 3 to 6.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A winter storm watch begins at 6 a.m. Thursday morning and continues until 6 a.m. Saturday morning. Cloudy overnight with a chance of snow. Lows around 21. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Highs around 25 tomorrow. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, 3 above. 2 to 4 inches of snow Wednesday night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 23 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am not Kristen Bry. I am Dan Schaefer. I am filling in for Kristen Bry while she is out this afternoon. And we just had a couple terrific guests join us today. We had Evan Goyke, who was running for city attorney, join us. He's also part of the Joint Finance Committee, so we talked about some of the stuff happening in the legislature too. But I think that run for city attorney that he's making, the fact that this election is more than 2 years away, and you have a very prominent member of the legislature who's, you know, looking to jump into this race at this time, really shows you how much of a need there is for change in that city attorney's office.
It's astonishing when you think about it. And to have Evan here to talk down and really break down what it is that the city attorney's office does explain why, because we hear over and over again sometimes, Dan, about these terrible landlords who have hundreds of citations and fines hanging out there, and yet the city never seems to take any movement against them.
Right. There's so many issues that it seems like could be addressed by someone in this office. But Tyrone Spencer, the current city attorney who was elected in 2020, in his first term, has not made a particularly positive impression in this turn. I think there's been a ton of people leaving that office, a ton of turnover, some really weird, really problematic stuff coming out of that office. It's just every time you hear a story about Tyrone Spencer in the city attorney's office in Milwaukee, it's not a good one.
No.
So, it's very interesting that Evan is running for that election. I might have a new state representative. He's my state representative. So I'm going to have to encourage one of my neighbors to run for that seat.
Step up. But isn't it interesting too, Dan, that there's nothing in place to discipline people who behave like this in an elected office. I just kind of find it remarkable that there are no guardrails on whatever is going on in there. You know, you talked about the turnover. Good heavens, we've lost like 3/4 of the longstanding attorneys that were there are gone.
Right.
Because they quit or resigned or retired.
Yeah, or are suing the office over
that too.
Sexual discrimination claims.
Right.
And it's just like there's all sorts of craziness that has come out of this office. And so, and it was an office that if you were covering the city of Milwaukee for a long time before that, you never really heard about. Because, I mean, Grant Langley, as we mentioned, was the city attorney from 1984 to 2020. And you almost never heard about, you know, what was happening in that office. Spencer comes in and challenges that, says it's time for a change. I agree that 34 years or
a long time,
to be in the same office. I made many of those same arguments about how long Tom Barrett had been in office or however many different leaders have been in office, so time for a change. Sometimes that change is not a good one. And that seems to be what has happened with Spencer. But somebody like Evan Goyke, who has been, you know, like you said, a member of the Joint Finance Committee, is in his third term on the Joint Finance Committee, one of the more respected members of the legislature, among the Democrats in the legislature. You know, I talked to him for a couple stories that I wrote this fall about elections in the legislature. He's gotten really involved, you know, in some of the local level recruitment type stuff, getting people to run for office. So, you know, it will be a loss in Madison to have him not there if he does indeed win this election in a couple years. So I think that, you know, it's one to watch, that's for sure.
And I am always impressed by people who are willing to put themselves out there and do and try to get these jobs.
It's so important. Just showing up and just being involved and getting involved and taking the plunge to run for office. It's huge. So, you know, in a couple of years, I will perhaps be looking for a new state representative on the west side of Milwaukee to fill Goyke's seat. I mean, who knows? It'll be important for somebody to step up there as well. And so the other thing we got a chance to talk about in the last couple segments here was with Tanya Fonseca from the Milwaukee Department of City Development, talking about the Downtown 2040 plan. Now, 2040
seems so long away,
but it's 18 years away. My youngest daughter will presumably be in college or something like that.
Is that not mind-blowing?
That is mind-blowing. My daughter will be two in January. My youngest will be two in January. And so 18 years from then will be...
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, thinking about that, and I always think about, now that I'm a parent, I think about everything in terms of their lives and not mine.
Which is probably as it should be.
Exactly. So just to think about, you know, what's happening in downtown in 2040 is a little bit mind-bending. But it calls back to a lot of the work that it reminds me of a lot of the work that I did, especially when I was at Milwaukee Magazine. I was at Milwaukee Magazine from about 2014 to 2016. And I wrote a big cover story in 2014 about the many decisions that Milwaukee had to make as it applies to its downtown. And we made many of those decisions since then, and now it's time
they
to turn
actually
the page.
Came to pass.
They came to pass. It was, you know, we didn't know if they were going to approve the deal to build the Bucks Arena. We didn't know if they were going to, you know, approve the deal for the streetcar. We didn't know if they were going to expand the convention center. We didn't know if they were going to do anything with the Grand Avenue Mall or just tear it down. And now we have, you know, a lot of those decisions have been made, and I think many of them were good ones. Many of them are decisions that Milwaukee can be proud of. And many of those, you know, like the convention center still getting built down there. There's a many number of things that are still happening, but you know, I think it's a good time to be looking ahead to what downtown is going to be over the next couple decades.
You got to start in advance.
Yeah.
Look down the road.
And we got to be, you know, we got to be optimistic about this, and we have to, you know, really, you know, kind of set a high bar for ourselves going forward. And as, you know, kind of with that goal that Mayor Cavalier Johnson had put for the city of Milwaukee to grow to 1 million people, you're going to have to grow downtown. That's going to be a really important part of that. So that 2040 project is really going to be one to watch going forward. We are going to be joined in the next segment by Allison Garfield of the Cap Times. She has been writing about Amtrak in Madison. I think I was still driving in, Jane. You had a chance to talk about that a little bit with Kristen earlier in the show.
Just a little bit.
And how nice it would be to take a train to Madison. So we're going to be talking about that with her after the break. Stick with us.
He'll meet you on God's Golden Show.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
They say the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. In the same way, the journey to end poverty for good begins first with a child. A journey like this takes commitment from you and me. A commitment to end poverty for good.
Learn how you can help at children.org right now.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports. Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages,
start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're serious comedy to start your day.
The All of Us Research Program has a simple mission. They want to speed up medical breakthroughs. To do this, they're asking people across America to share their unique health information to create the largest, most diverse medical research program ever. The more information researchers have, the faster they can create individualized prevention, precise treatment options, and better care for everyone. Help make this mission achievable. Learn more at joinallofus.org/WBA. Sponsored by All of Us Wisconsin.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm Tumani. When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things. I committed some crimes, even got shot, but I'm not a criminal.
That's right. I'm Jamal. I work for Youth Advocate Programs. Yeah, I was Tumani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, get a job, and work hard to see a better future for himself. If you have a change of mindset, you can have a change of action.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
No, she's a good student and a great kid. As Jalen's Yap advocate, I'm always here for her. With the Youth Advocate Programs, I was able to connect with Jalen.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration, congregate placement, and neighborhood violence. After completing our program, 86% of participants were arrest-free. YAP works.
And now, I'm a YAP advocate, helping kids like me find a better way.
Youth Advocate Programs. Others talk social change. We make it happen. Learn how at yapinc.org.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The Marshfield Fire Department is in the tough position of needing to charge for their response services. They never have in the past, but starting next year, they will need to charge for services including fire inspections, false alarms, car crashes, fires, and vehicle extraction. Charges will be determined on a case-by-case basis, but they estimate a car crash requiring passenger extraction from the vehicle could cost up to $1,000. City leaders say they had no choice but to implement charges due to growing budget issues and a lack of state funding, as well as keeping up with inflation. We're keeping an eye on the potential for a winter storm that could complicate people's holiday travel plans in Wisconsin. The storm could start Wednesday night and last into Friday. After that, temperatures are forecast to plunge into highs in the single digits into the Christmas holiday weekend. In sports, the Packers host the Rams tonight. The Bucks are at New Orleans. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Snow likely overnight, otherwise overcast. Lows dip down to about 9 above. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow, highs around 12. Mainly cloudy skies tomorrow night, lows level off around 6 below. 1 to 2 inches of snow overnight with another 4 to 8 inches Wednesday through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 16.
For you, which makes me think that every time previously when it was streamed live on Twitter, the hearing itself, and today, the thing that was at the top of the What's Happening tab was NFL scores. And yeah, so that was a change.
Yeah, the way I think of that is, so sometimes you want a little more spicier salsa than Benny Thompson. Is that what I'm taking away from this?
I bet in after hours he's pretty spicy.
Just, I'm sure he is.
He is his professional side and his party side.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think everybody is supposed to, these are supposed to be tuned to our interests and to get engagement, right? So like my Twitter feed basically boils down to like four things: politics, sports, nerd culture, and general news, right? Like there's not a TV station in the state of Wisconsin that I don't follow for news. Mm-hmm. And so what I am just noticing is that in the past hearings, there was like literal, like the live tweeting from the journalists, because the vast majority of people that I follow are journalists. Mm-hmm. And today we're getting a mix of, you know, Home Alone, pizza orders and inflation. Here's one from a reporter about January 6th. Here's one about an announcement on Disney. So something is happening, whether mm-hmm. that's with the algorithm or if we have seen enough journalists have already left the platform or are engaging with it less for their work because of everything that is happening at Twitter, up to and including Elon Musk's decision last week to suspend without any warning journalists for doing their jobs. So clearly something, we know that things have changed with Twitter since the ownership change. But you're right to point out that this is a pretty jarring one, because we've been through this with these January 6th committee hearings a couple of different times in the not too distant future. And it is a very different world today than it was even the last time.
Well, and one of them that I usually follow is Seth Abramson. And he just said, I'm not live tweeting today. And I think he didn't even.
There you go. So
I mean, he just said it. He's like, because that was certainly one of the ones that I have been following. And he just said, "I'm sorry. Like, I'm not risking it. Please don't kick me off." And that's the amount of things that I've seen right now. Because I mean, on top of last week when the journalists who had reported on public information of Elon Musk's private jet got kicked off or suspended, some of them are back. But then yesterday, there was the announcements that if you promote other social media accounts, your Twitter account will be suspended. So journalists who have now left or are trying to do their work on different platforms are nervous about even sending people to those platforms. And because what I didn't realize, except for a text that I got from a friend while we were on air and while the podcast was happening, is in competition to the January 6th hearing today, they also dropped the next Twitter files. So that was also happening. Another installment of Hunter Biden's laptop and how the FBI did or did not handle their having it. And I have not even read what it says, but that was happening in the same time that the hearings were happening. And so it's wildly disappointing because I'm like you. I was not, before I started As Goes Wisconsin, I was not a huge Twitter user. And it was in finding the niche of Wisconsin news that Twitter became more manageable, of like curating it to what I wanted to see and who I wanted to engage with. And it's wildly disappointing to think that that's going to disappear. And even with the Hive and Post News and Mastodon and stuff, like all of that just seems very daunting to recreate and find another place to curate information and to have the conversation with other journalists and Wisconsin folks of what I created there. And this just, it feels like another example of it's falling apart.
Chris and I would just say, don't cry because it's over. Cry because it happened. And I'm looking at three tweets in a row right now that are like the perfect illustration of the state of the world. We've got Snoop Dogg polling, should I run Twitter? 2.6 million votes, and he's winning 80-20. Then you've got someone who's Uncle Mom, and it says, my son got a face tattoo. Go ahead and bottle feed. It doesn't matter. And then you have an open source intelligence. It is an open source intelligence agency that I follow, Intel Doge, saying the House committee has voted to refer Donald Trump to the Department of Justice. If that's not like the world in a snapshot, I don't know what is. Twitter was a great run for a long time.
It was
maybe
a great
if Snoop Dogg
run.
Takes over. It'll go back.
Well, that's the thing. And like, simultaneously, TikTok is like a week away from getting banned potentially. And so the recreation of where we join each other online and get new information or share information is a revolving door. But I just thought that was interesting.
And you know what?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I know that for the creators out there, the end of social media would be like, it would be really, really sad and really, really hard to take. But I'm just here to tell you, if you really like detach yourself and go, would the world be a better or worse place without social media? My conclusion is it would be a better place without social media.
I push back on that only.
Hot take, I know.
No, I don't disagree with you because I think there is plenty of studies and what social media does to our mental health, what social media does to mis and disinformation. My only argument for social media as a creative person is it lowers the barrier to entry to things that were gated and kept. And you didn't, I quit acting because I didn't want to constantly be waiting for someone to tell me that I could. Right. And with, I kind of missed the initial YouTube phase. Like I was quitting acting right as YouTube became a thing. And that was kind of the first wave of people being able to take their creativity into their own hands. And it was a meritocracy. It was one of the first things that if you were good, if you were entertaining, things could go viral. You could get traction by putting your stuff out into the world and letting people share it. Like, As Goes Wisconsin would not be a thing without social media. Like, I couldn't have just moved back to Wisconsin and knocked on Journal Sentinel's door and, like, hire me to do videos for you, right? And so I hear you, and I don't disagree that they're reining it in somewhat is good. And it's also one of the best ways that we've allowed creativity to flourish and not had the people at the top who are usually business people, not creatives, saying who can and who cannot make it, quote unquote. This took a turn.
that's fair. And listen, out of everything that you would, right, it's a choice. It's a judgment call. I'm not saying there, if you could snap your fingers and eliminate all social media, I'm not saying there wouldn't be a downside to it. I'm saying that the upside would outweigh the downside.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. Well, while we have you, I would love to get your thoughts on different news of the day, considering Jane and I were out all last week. But any thoughts? Because we started some of the headlines earlier today. I was first shocked when I heard that whoever holds the chair of the Wisconsin Republican Party didn't get paid until now. So we talked about that 2 weeks ago. But while we were gone, they have elected a new chair, Brian Schimming. Do you have thoughts on that move?
Yeah, so I'll provide a little historical context, which is I'm old enough and have been doing this long enough to remember when the Democratic Party of Wisconsin made paying the chair the way that it was done. And it was not without controversy at that time. And frankly, I think Republicans kind of, you know, they gotta pay somebody. But here we are. After 16, in the last 16 statewide elections, and Democrats or the candidates supported by Democrats have won 13 of them, and our politics has evolved, you frankly see the Republican Party realizing, oh man, we got to figure this out and do some of this differently. So I'm not surprised by it.
I'm also not worried by it from the standpoint of winning elections. I think that the Republican Party's problems run deeper than just their staff. I have certainly enjoyed watching the sniping between Tim Michaels and the Republican establishment. The Republicans are a party divided, and parties divided do not do as well politically as those that are united. And whether it's the fight over what their party infrastructure looks like, whether it is the rift between the Walker Clayfish wing and the Michaels wing of the Republican parties who are lining up behind Dan Kelly and Judge Darrow. Darrow?
I think it's Darrow.
I think
we decided that it was Darrow.
Okay. So the Republicans have a lot of problems. Donald Trump is one of them, right? So, like, it's great that they have finally caught up and are trying to professionalize their party. I actually hope that professionalizing their party will lead to better outcomes in terms of the types of candidates they get. I know Brian Schimming. Brian's a good man. We disagree on basically everything, but we can have a disagreement agreeably. And I'm hopeful forever that the Republican Party will figure out how to extract itself from the morass of the last 6 or 7 years.
Yeah. Well, and you brought up...
But it's not going to happen overnight.
Exactly. But you brought up... I'm sure we'll have you on plenty in the next 3 months, 4 months, to talk about the Supreme Court race because it's so important. But since we haven't talked to you, kind of... I don't know enough how this goes. In the 2020 election, were there multiple candidates going into the primary for the Supreme Court seat?
I don't think there were in 2020, but there have been competitive primaries before where you basically had it was either Dalit or Neubauer. There was a primary with an attorney very much from like the Bernie Sanders wing of the Democratic Party. So we have seen these multi-candidate party, primaries before. And frankly, I'm not entirely sure that on the progressive side, the two progressive candidates who are running right now are Judge Janet Protasevich and Judge Everett Mitchell. I'm not sure that both of them will file nomination papers, right?
Oh, really?
It is within the realm of possibility. Oh, sure. That the Democrats and the progressive movement will find a way to sort of coalesce and pick a horse in the next couple of weeks. And if either one of those candidates does not turn in nomination signatures when they're due on the second or third, then they wouldn't be on the ballot.
The second or third of January?
Long ways to go. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So that's coming up fast. So we'll come back right after the holiday and know what the final horse race will be for that. Because that's fascinating to me in this very partisan but nonpartisan race, how the strategy lies there. All right. Well, Joseph Pecky, we're going to have you back in studio very soon. You always bring so much wisdom, enlightenment, history, hot takes. We appreciate you, man. And we'll see you next time.
Miss you guys. Glad you're feeling better.
Thank you. All right. We're going to take one more break. Stay with us. This is
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Radio this New Year's Eve as we present live at thespaceship.tv. Max Inc. Radio will broadcast live from the spaceship.tv studios 6 p.m. to midnight, plus live performances from the Civil Engineers. And the Zeros. And Porky's Groove Machine.
The Spice Girls. Muy caliente. Oh, they're not hitting.
Live streaming video at thespaceship.tv and live on this Civic Media station. Let's party New Year's Eve starting at 6 p.m. live from thespaceship.tv. Happy New Year's from Civic Media and Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A winter storm watch begins at 6 a.m. Thursday morning and continues until 6 a.m. Saturday morning. Chance of scattered snow showers overnight, otherwise overcast. Lows around 21. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance of flurries tomorrow, 25. Lows around 3 above tomorrow night. 2 to 4 inches of snow Wednesday night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 23 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. It has been a topsy-turvy show, started strong, took a break for the January 6th committee. We didn't know how long that was going to last. Joe Zepecki joined. And now we're going to round up the show with Jane Matinere, Brian Kelly. How you doing, Brian?
I'm conscious.
It's always a good place to be.
Let's just say they ended a little bit sooner than...
Than we thought they were going to, which perhaps, is fine.
It's fine. Totally fine.
We're improv artists.
Totally fine. That's what I'm down for. It's just there's certain things I have to do to make the salami work.
Well, Jane, you brought up an interesting point at the commercial that I hadn't thought of.
Did you catch this, Brian? When Representative Zoe Lofgren was speaking, she said at one point, and I'm paraphrasing here, but there were some lawyers, and it was unclear who was paying these lawyers. There were some lawyers for some of the witnesses, who were all predominantly from the Trump administration, who were advising at least one client, you know, you don't necessarily have to tell them all the things that you remember. And if you don't remember a couple things, there could be a really good job in your future that would be very financially lucrative. Is that pretty close, Brian?
Yeah, and you know what? If I ever had that job, I would not want to have that job, because then what else do I have to do after that? My goodness!
Doesn't it seem a little mobby?
It seems a little mobby, and it seems like it's not going to stop there.
You know what's fascinating? Did either of you listen to Ultra Rachel Maddow's? Well, Jane doesn't listen to podcasts, so no. Do you know what I'm talking about, Brian?
I did not, and I do not.
So I highly recommend it. It's Rachel Maddow, of who we all know, and she did a very produced historical podcast documentary type 8-part series. And it basically documents or rehashes or brings back there was a whole coup. There was a whole infiltration of Nazis and an attempt to overthrow the government in the lead up of World War II. And it's been so suppressed, that story of the politicians who were involved, the relationships with little German Nazis and how they were trying to spread propaganda, and the foot soldiers and the different America First type groups that existed back then. It's such a mirror to what I feel like we've heard play out through Trump and the insurrection and January 6th and the committees afterwards. And it just, I think, as Joe was saying, this is historic. And there is a bookend now to what the testimony they heard, the subpoenas that they had, everything that they found, and it will be published for history for us to be able to reference back to and not forget. And I think...
But that doesn't mean that there will be any ramifications from it.
Well, we don't know yet.
True, but there is no guarantee that any of these recommendations to the Department of Justice are going to go forward. There's no guarantee that anything is going to happen to any of these people. And now apparently we do know the 4 that have been recommended for ethics violations.
Which are?
Kevin McCarthy, Jim Jordan, Andy Biggs, and I'm forgetting.
John Eastman?
No, not John Eastman. He's not a member of the...
What did John Eastman get recommended for?
He's an attorney.
No, I know, but because I saw one of the charges, they were recommending John Eastman.
For him. But these are just, so they refused to comply with the subpoenas. So they are being recommended to the Ethics Committee for sanctions. Well, what does that mean?
What does it mean?
What, are you going to not get a sucker on Friday? I mean, what? It just seems toothless.
Well, it also just comes back to where we said, what we said at the beginning of the show, where it feels the fact that there's been so many convictions of quote unquote foot soldiers,
right,
for lack of a better term, people who were not elected officials that took part in January 6th, who have been charged with a variety of different, depending on what their involvement. But there's been hundreds, right? At this point,
there's of how been many people over 900.
Over
900.
So there's justice and accountability for the average Joe, if you want to call them that. I'm not sure the founder of the Oath Keepers is necessarily an average Joe, but you know what I mean. Versus the accountability for the people who were orchestrating things from the inside and knew, as we heard from the testimony, that Donald Trump lost the election. Everyone around him was telling him, you lost the election.
Yes.
And he wouldn't move forward. And to think, like you said, if there's not going to be any ramifications for the actual, the people in charge versus the people who were just now sitting in jail and will serve their sentence, but we're kind of just following orders. And if that means that there's still so much loyalty to these people when they've just done nothing except thrown the most vulnerable people out to serve their sentence, it'll be beyond disappointing.
It will. It really will. Again, to not see any accountability, just look at the texts that some of these lawmakers were sending to the chief of staff, Mark Meadows. And, you know, I can't think of the man who said it at the time, but when Trump at that point refused to concede and someone said, oh, just give it a couple weeks. He's just having a hard time. You know, just give it a couple weeks and he'll pack up and he'll go home. All those people knew this was mm-hmm. all a lie. They all fed this. They all encouraged this. They coddled this. And if there isn't going to be any comeuppance, I don't know that people will. How are you going to feel about that going forward?
Do you think it's any does worse than you do
work?
Now?
Does it, but does our system really work then?
Well, it potentially continues to work for the people it's meant to work for.
I guess. I don't think I'm those people.
I don't think I'm those people either. Hmm. This is why I'm a law-abiding citizen. All right. Well, Brian, what do you and Luke have coming up on Dueling Tangents?
Well, I think I heard that there was this January 6th committee hearing that happened. I think we may be covering that just a little bit. That definitely will be a subject that we bring up. Also, it will be whatever Luke is coming up with right now, because right now I am also producing your show as well as reprogramming the next hour. So it's going to be
Kelly,
pretty cool.
He
does it all.
Many talents, many skills. We appreciate you, man. All right. Well, for us, that'll do it for today. But we will be back with a full show for tomorrow. As always, thank you for tuning in. Come back tomorrow. This has been As Goes Wisconsin. I'm the man.
As you go about your daily life, look closer. As you gather with family and friends, look closer. Right in your community, there are youth who don't have the home, warmth, and healing you have. So, look closer. Every year across America, a staggering 4.2 million youth are homeless or trafficked. Covenant House is the national leader providing safe housing for youth 50 years strong. Tonight, 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed. And tomorrow, they will wake up surrounded by love. Every youth who walks into Covenant House gets clean clothes, hot meals, medical care, and a safe place to sleep 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in sites across America to help them fulfill the great promise of their lives. So, look closer at Covenant House and help us fight youth homelessness. To help or get help, go to covenanthouse.org.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home.